From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of February, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo from Everstream Analytics and hear about the cash grain situation from Greg Johnson at TGM, Total Grain Marketing, here in Champaign County. Ed Ussett will join us as well from the University of Missouri. He's an Extension agricultural economist, and we'll do it all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, and there today you can register for our Spring Outlook. That's coming up on the 8th day of March. It's just about a month away, Tuesday, March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Will be a great day, including our panelists that you hear on the air every day and the Farm Doc team. Good day over at the Beef House. Registration is just $25. That includes a Beef House cinnamon roll and coffee in the morning, and you'll get the Beef House lunch too, all for $25. You can't beat that at willag.org. Get yourself registered now.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today at $6.35 and a quarter, up 14 and three quarters of a cent. May settled in the futures at $6.37 and a quarter a bushel, 15 and a half cents higher. In December, new crop at $5.81, up 7 and a quarter. March soybeans at $15.81 and three quarters, 28 and a quarter higher. The May at $15.86 and a quarter, up 28 and three quarters. And November beans at $14.16, up 20 and a quarter. Bean meal futures at $4.52.80, $8.90 higher. And the bean oil at $65.34, down 2 cents. A wheat futures, soft red up 5 and a half at $7.68 and three quarters, hard red at $7.91 and three quarters, up 6. Live cattle futures at $146.40, down 47 and a half cents. Feeders at $165.2 and a half, $1.07 and a half lower, and lean hogs at $101.27 and a half cents, up $1.20 for the day. Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Kurt, every time I think it's a spot where the market might be done, it just keeps running. What's pushing the market this week?
Oh, boy. Energizer Bunny climbing the wall of worry. Mr. Gravity not showing up. It just continues to hold in there much, much higher than what anybody anticipated. For this time of year, you would have thought it was 4th of July and there's been no rain around, which is the case in the southern hemisphere. We continue to see some dry conditions from the forecast for that area. It's totally been missing out, and the upper part continues to be too wet. Brazil's about 16% harvested. They'll start to pick up momentum here as we move more into February, into March, of course. So it's kind of hurry up and see what type of yield reports we have out of that southern hemisphere. But trade's expecting the numbers here on Wednesday to show another drawdown in production out of the southern hemisphere. And it's just a reversal of fortune here from what we were looking at last fall of possibly Brazil producing 145 million metric tons. And now we're down to, probably below 130 million metric tons. And as one of your analysts said over the weekend there on Commodity Week, it's a race to see who can have the lowest production number, I think.
Well, we have a WASD report that's due out this week. I'm wondering by Wednesday what USDA will say. Will they jump as fast as the trade has, and will it make much difference if they don't?
Well, each analyst has about three different estimates. One is what they think the report's going to say. Then they have an estimate out of what they believe truly where we're at on it. But for the most part, for that southern hemisphere, Argentina corn about 52 million metric tons versus 54. Argentine soybeans 44.5 versus 46.5. Brazilian beans probably 133.5 versus 139. Corn 113.6 versus 115. So all lower, and when you look at the world supply demand balance sheet on the ending stocks, we're going to see another kink down in that. And the significance of that is we're looking at a downtrend in ending stocks, and probably the lowest ending stocks we've seen, for the last 4 or 5 years. So it's a little tighter there. As far as U.S. numbers, don't expect a whole lot of change. The wheat estimate's about unchanged. Corn can maybe be down 30 million bushels. Soybeans, maybe 40 million bushel drop there on the ending stocks there. So one observation, if you go back to the reports over the last year, whenever we had a sharp up, sharp down, going into a report, the market kind of reversed the direction there. So some of this bullishness is built in, and so the concern would be that if the numbers come out, they'll say it's built in. So we got to use some caution going into this report.
It would be an interesting for a February report, which is normally pretty ho-hum after the January numbers, to be one that could turn the tide. What are you watching in the risk-on, risk-off side? So the fundamentals, of course, and we'll talk about this throughout the program and have for a while now, are dry conditions in South America, Ukraine, Russia issues, inflation. Are any of those things that could change what happens on Wednesday of this week, meaning that they would put a top in the marketplace?
Well, it could. I don't know if it's a major top. There's still a lot of moving parts, a lot of uncertainty. Pull up a five-minute chart. It measures the high and low in 5 minutes. And look at the Dow, for example. You know, we're moving. There's some days we're moving 400 or 500 points up and down a couple of times, and it took years to move that much. So extreme nervous, extreme volatility, just a lot of uncertainty in front of us. And what we've been doing is managing this price risk by putting price floors in. One observation with the Olympics here this past weekend, Putin was there, and there's ideas that Putin and the Chinese met, and the thing about it is there's some other moving parts here. For example, there's a lot of Chinese investor money in the Ukrainian area. For the last 2 years, China's meat companies have put big investments in Ukraine, and they've got a lot of money loaned to them, expecting pork to go in, into China there. So Russia's going to have to make a deal with China here. Says, you know, if they invade and they disrupt things here, they're going to have to help out there. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes moving parts here, and it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds here over not just the next few weeks, but the next 6 months to a year.
Some of it having to do with the Belt and Road that China's been trying to build for a while now. Hey, one other thing. Thank you. I know you'll be over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, about a month from today, actually a month from tomorrow. I'm sure looking forward to that.
Oh, boy, it's always a great event, and the best part about it is we're going to be able to visit with everybody in person, and that's huge. We always enjoy that, especially on Commodity Week, too, Todd.
You bet. Hey, that's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and will join us at the Spring Outlook at the Beef House on Tuesday, March the 8th. The cost is just $25. That's a Beef House roll and coffee in the morning, the Beef House lunch, the Farm Doc team, and so much more. You can register today at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Ed Ussett, Extension Agricultural Economist at the University of Minnesota, now joins us to discuss the marketplace and what's been happening in Chicago, commodities in general. Thank you, Ed, for being with us. It's been really just a wild ride, particularly in soybeans. A lot of up days recently.
Yeah, there's it's up a dollar in the last week and a half. And up again today, just looking at the March contract, it is up again, which makes the 10th consecutive day trading higher in the March contract. A lot of uncertainty about that South American crop. I think it's beyond uncertainty. I think there's a certainty that the South American crop is not going to be as good as we thought it would be just a month ago. There's still debate about is this a disaster? Is it, you know, is it bad? Is it real bad? Is it horrible? That's yet to be determined.
Well, the futures markets are trying to determine that. That's what they do, try to make a good guess ahead of time. That also means they could change their mind fairly quickly. Is there a lot of, quote, air under this marketplace?
We're trading the uncertainty of that market, and yes, it is taking off. I'm watching, you know what else I like to watch? Not only prices, but spreads. And I like to see what the spreads are doing. So I've been watching the March-July soybean spread, which frankly was, you know, a modest carry for months and months going back to harvest, 12 to 14 cent carry. That is the July trading premium to March. And they've quickly, in the last 2 weeks, gone to even money. So the spread is telling you something's going on there too. And you know, that type of action in the spread, you're not seeing that in the corn market. Spreads are inverted, but they're not getting any more inverted. And the wheat market, good grief, the wheat spreads have actually widened out. Old crop, new crop spreads have just collapsed in Minneapolis. So the wheat market is on, which was in its own zone in September, October, November, are now also in their own zone, but they're kind of going the opposite. They're defensive relative to the soybean market.
So what do you think the spread is telling you about soybeans?
It's telling you it's a fundamentally strong market. When I see spreads move like that, fundamentally strong market. Now, we're going to get a lot of truth here in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks as the actual harvest comes in, because that's the only time we really know the size of a crop. We have to harvest it and just measure it up. We're going to learn a lot in the next few weeks.
Well, they're about, what, as of last week, about 16-17% along. A third of the Mato Grosso crop had been harvested. I suppose it has to make its way to the port system for us to really get an idea, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. We've got a lot yet to learn.
What does it tell you?
I'm looking at new crop opportunities, which started to pique my interest when November soybeans got to $12.50, November 22. Really piqued my interest when they got over 13 and were currently over $14 a bushel. Great opportunities in new crop. Risky, chancy, I guess, if you have a sense of dread about the U.S. crop in the year ahead, we could go even higher. But that's getting started with November new crop futures above $14 a bushel is not something that happens very often.
So we're 7 days into the February crop insurance setting month. Sounds like there will be some risk management that takes place automatically through that system.
There's the good news, right? I mean, we're going to set some high insurance numbers. And I think that's a good thing.
It's going to be costly to buy the insurance, too.
Yes, it is. But if you've got, $14-$15 soybeans, if you've got $4.50-$5 corn, maybe you can afford insurance this year.
What do you think makes this market difficult to explain, relatively speaking? Because, I mean, most can look down into South America and say, yeah, drought. Inflation is a potential there. Of course, there's geopolitics with Russia, Ukraine, China involved in the process. There are a lot of moving parts, and it feels far more difficult for traders and others to get a handle on. Is that really the case?
Well, I think so. I think you say it's difficult to explain, difficult to get a handle on. You've just named why we're this high. And we've got so many uncertainties out there, and the market is trading those uncertainties, uncertainties with the South American crop. I'm not even smart enough to get into the geopolitics, but that is some serious stuff going on in Eastern Europe and Ukraine and Russia. there's a lot happening, a lot of uncertainty, and the market is feeding on that right now.
Ed Usett is an agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota with Extension there. We'll hear more from him tomorrow. The other part of our conversation focused on end users, processors, soybean processing and ethanol. In fact, we'll hear that tomorrow here on Illinois Public Media's willag.org. Hey, if you've not yet, don't forget to sign yourself up, get yourself registered for our Spring Outlook meeting coming up March the 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Should be a great day. All the details are online, the way to register as well. Do that now at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. The Spring Outlook, it's about right at a month away on Tuesday, March the 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We lower the price, just $25 this year, and we added the Farm Doc team. The Ag Economist from the U of I will join us for the full day at the Beef House. $25. Register online right now at willag.org. Now, up next, we'll talk with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hey, Mark, thank you for being with us today.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me a bit more about last week's winter storm here in the Midwest?
Yeah, last week's storm, certainly a high-impact storm in terms of the combination of snow and ice, along with some wind, and you know, resulted in interstates being shut down and big disruptions to business operations and that. So one of the biggest storms to impact not only the Midwest, but from the stretch from the Southern Plains all the way up into New England. This is almost as widespread and impactful of event as you can get here for the middle of winter.
Are things calmer this week?
They are. Yeah, we're not seeing any other storms here, whether that's in the Midwest or for that matter, the East Coast. All in all, it's a rather quiet week, and that looks to continue actually into next week as well. Much different pattern here setting up.
Is your expectation that things will be quieter in Argentina? That probably means it'll be drier and hotter and less rainfall. They really need that.
Rain activity is going to be decreasing across the region. That looks to continue into next week for Argentina and southern Brazil. The other item of note is that from a temperature standpoint, not this week, but next week, temperatures look to heat up again. In fact, indications are for another major heat wave developing in Argentina and into southern Brazil and Paraguay, creating another round of stress on the crops. So certainly getting kind of back into this drier, hotter mode as we move through the middle portion of February for Argentina and southern Brazil.
Do you see conditions getting better for northern Argentina and for southern Brazilian states through the month of February?
Yeah, expecting this general drier and warmer bias for Argentina and southern Brazil. For the latest planted crops and the double crop soybeans in Argentina and southern Brazil, they can their soybeans can still benefit from rains all the way through March. So they have a ways to go there. But the fact that shifting back into this drier mode, that definitely raises some concerns, considering that this has been really the base state all growing season long.
What will harvest conditions be like in center west Brazil this week, Mato Grosso and places as such?
Yeah, Todd, for these next few weeks, the harvest is going to be disrupted a bit here. We're not seeing any extreme or large scale areas of extreme wetness. However, the pattern is turning more active in center west Brazil. And as a result of that, that will begin to cause some logistical issues, whether that's harvesting of soybeans or actually transporting some of those soybeans to ports, either in the Amazon or in the southeastern Brazil. So another impact here of this active pattern here coming up for that part of Brazil.
Hey, thank you much, Mark.
You're welcome, Ted.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Get yourself registered there at willag.org for our Spring Outlook. That's just a month away now. Don't forget to buy your tickets early. They go fast. $25 buys you the whole day. Coffee and rolls, a cinnamon roll, that is, from the Beef House in the morning. The Beef House lunch, too. It's a great deal. Tuesday, March the 8th. Register today at willag.org. On Mondays, we always talk with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, Total Grain Marketing, from here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thank you for being with us. You survived the snowstorm last week.
This week is off to a better start than last week. Yes, we're optimistic that we'll make it through and be able to make it to work every day this week.
Well, and every day seems to be a higher day, too, at least in the soybeans. What is with this rally? Is this just all about what's happening in South America, maybe some other things?
I'd say it's three things. South America is probably the catalyst, but now you've got China, who was on holiday for the last week or so. They're back, and they are back purchasing. Rumor has it that they are buying U.S. beans due to the concerns about the short crop in Brazil. So you've got some Chinese demand showing up and some smaller crops out of South America. And then, of course, you have inflation. This is not a transitory inflation, as we thought, as we were told a few months ago. It looks like inflation is here, and the traders are repricing that in. You know, $5 corn isn't what $5 corn used to be. Maybe it needs to be $6 corn instead of $5, and the beans don't need to be $12. Maybe they need to be $14. So, you know, in that kind of environment, you know, the buyers are buying, and the farmers are just kind of holding their water and waiting to see how high is up before they really pull the trigger, although these are some very, very good and attractive values.
So you say there's really some decent fundamentals under this marketplace still then?
There is, but we've already rallied over $2 in beans since the middle of November. We've rallied over $1 in corn, so some of that's priced in already. And at some point, you just have to say, I don't know where the high is, but I can make good money at these prices and sell a percentage of these, you know, of your crop at these prices. And you know, the nice thing about these high prices is you can afford to spend a little bit of money on options and protect yourself. Options are expensive, but if you're starting with a $14 floor instead of a $12 floor, you kind of afford to spend 50, 60 cents on an option and still have a pretty good floor locked in.
If you could tell us when the high price is high enough, it would be good.
I probably would have said last week, and look what I know. It's already higher than what I thought it was going to be. So, yeah, this is amazing. But as long as it stays hot and dry in South America, China continues to buy, and we've got inflation, it sure feels like the fundamentals would argue for even higher prices yet for a little while.
Any issue with wheat being a drag on the market at all?
You know, that was the theory, and it has been kind of a drag on corn. The bean market percentage-wise has gone up more than the corn market has. So corn has kind of been held down a little bit by wheat. But as we get into closer to that March 31 planting intentions report, you know, maybe corn will take the leadership role then, because I still think that we are going to see more bean acres out of the United States, less corn acres. And if that's the case, then maybe corn reclaims that mantle of leadership. But right now, it's all about the dry weather in South America, and that's why beans are the leaders here over the last several weeks.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.